In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The seventh week of Easter has always intrigued me. It's a Sunday in betwixt and in between. Last Thursday, Ascension. Next Sunday, Pentecost. That first century situation with the disciples must have been a difficult one. They were without the presence of their risen Lord, and the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon them. The crucifixion was only 42, 43 days old. It was still a scandal, still a horror and embarrassment. They probably could not get out of their minds the picture of their Lord crucified naked outside of Jerusalem. And no matter how many times the risen Lord appeared to them, they must have remembered his death very vividly. The evil one had infected all of them in the Garden of Gethsemane, including the Apostle Peter, who denied Jesus three times. And worst of all, of course, was Judas the betrayer. So filled with evil from the evil one, he saw nothing but darkness and despair, to the point where death was the only answer to his agony. It doesn't get any darker than that. I believe the disciples on that first century situation saw the darkness as deep, both inside and outside of them. And yet, no matter how deep the darkness, they knew that the triumph was already theirs, that it would always be, no matter how hard the evil one fought against them. The same is true for us. That's why that great evening hymn can be of such comfort. The darkness deepens. Lord, with me abide. During those 10 days between the Ascension and Pentecost, as the disciples contemplated the darkness, you can almost hear them praying the collect for this week. Leave us not without consolation, but send us the Spirit of truth, whom you promised from the Father. And those words of Jesus on the night in which he was betrayed also must have been of great comfort. Holy Father, keep them in your name which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. When Jesus was with them, he kept and guarded them from the evil one, but now he's leaving them behind. He does not ask the Father to take them out of this world. They must continue to live in a world darkened by the virus of sin, a world that hates them because they are not part of this darkened world. They are not part of this world because they abide in Christ and he in them. And Christ is not of this world, for he is the light of the world. What Jesus does do is he petitions the Father to keep the disciples in the Father's name. The name given to the Son by the Father, the name placed upon those disciples at their baptism through water, word, and promise, Spirit. The strong name of the Trinity was placed upon them, and it was like the cloud that covered the tabernacle. It said to them, Christ is here, present, bodily, now. And the strong name of that Trinity kept them and guarded them from the evil one. Well, how can this be? Well, it was a done deal before the foundation of the world. Publicly revealed at the baptism of Jesus, when the Spirit comes upon Jesus, the Messiah Christ, and the Father says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And it was finished at a cross. This world of darkness, infected by the virus of sin, had to be sanctified. That means it must be cleansed, purified. And only the Holy One could do this, only Jesus by himself. Only Jesus could make the whole cosmos holy by the shedding of blood, his blood, the blood of the Son of God that cleanses the world of its sin. And so Jesus prays, and for their sake, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. And so it is. that Jesus' prayer for his disciples and for us is this: sanctify them in the truth, your word is truth. To sanctify, as we said, means to make holy, to make pure. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the Word made flesh. Jesus is praying to the Father that the disciples be made holy by their communion with him, the living Word, who is God's very truth. And Jesus speaks these things in the world, even though they are not of this world. And then he remarkably says, so that they might have my joy fulfilled in them. And how does this truth bring joy to them and to us? How is it that we know that we are made holy by abiding in him? Well, it is very simple. And the same evangelist John in our epistle lesson for Sunday states it clearly. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world, and whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. The darkness deepens. Lord, with me abide. And he does. Jesus abided with us all the way to the cross and beyond that to an empty tomb. He took us with him into his own suffering and death, buried us with him in his tomb, and carried us up out of the grave to a life that never ends. And as we stood there, dripping wet in our own baptismal puddle, we spoke our first sanctified words, Abba, Father. And then we heard Jesus pray for us, Holy Father, keep them in your name which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.